My guest at this time is Stephen Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute. He is also author of Bully of Asia, Why China's Dream is the New Threat to World Order. We want to get his insights as the Trump administration tries to nail down the verification specifics of North Korea's vow to dismantle its nuclear program. So, what is the best approach? That's what we'll discuss over the next few minutes. And Stephen, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Greg.
Well, several outlets in recent days, including the BBC and a number of others, have reported that North Korea is not exactly acting like it should be, given the vows that it's made here. According to the BBC, North Korea's only official nuclear enrichment site at Yongbyon is being upgraded. It also says the country is stepping up enrichment at two or more secret sites. And there's also a couple of worrisome notes on the ballistic missile front, continuing to produce more mobile launch vehicles, and also expanding missile production of solid fuel engines, which are more mobile and easier to launch. So what are you hearing on this front, and what does it tell us if some or all of it is true?
Well, what this tells us, Greg, is that I think that the Trump administration is leaking intelligence reports to the media in order to put Kim Jong-un on notice that we are watching. We are watching from space. We have some human intelligence in place watching on the ground. And, you know, in releasing these things and having stories come out in The Washington Post and the BBC and elsewhere, we're putting Kim and his people on notice that if they do not tell us exactly where all the missile launch and manufacturing sites are, all the centrifuges are, all the nuclear sites, all the nukes that they may have in storage somewhere, we will know that they're cheating, and we will know that they don't intend to go forward with the deal. So I think these leaks, which come from unnamed U.S. intelligence officials, have been orchestrated to let Kim know the U.S. is watching his every action and are intended to dissuade him from trying to cheat. Now, that doesn't mean he won't still try to cheat, but I think we put him on notice that he's not going to be able to get away with it.
How do you think that he's reacting to that? Because he's launched this charm offensive now. He's not publicly criticizing the United States or Trump. And a lot of Trump critics would say, well, if you want to get on Trump's good side, just say nice things about him. And so Kim is appearing to go down that road. And at the same time, if this information is coming from where you say it is or suggest it is, that strategy doesn't seem to be working. So what's your take on what his reaction to this probably is now?
Well, look, President Trump has very smartly surrounded himself with John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, who has no illusions where Kim Jong-un and North Korea are concerned, and Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, who is in North Korea now, who also has no illusions. So, you know, the idea that that this has anything to do with a charm offensive, I think, is just Never Trumper is trying to find something to criticize the president for anything. I mean, if you're a Never Trumper, then he's never right, right? So, look, I think that Trump has set the stage over the previous year and a half for the successful denuclearization of North Korea. He's made three things very clear to Kim. First of all, he said, I'm just as tough as you are, if not tougher. You may be a little rocket man, but I'm big rocket man. The second thing he's made clear is that I can hurt you, Kim, a lot more than you can hurt me. In other words, my nuclear button is bigger than your nuclear button. And finally, if you give up your nukes, he made clear in Singapore that he can make life in North Korea a lot easier. Kim Jong-un can stay in power. His economy can develop, and his people will be far better off. Now, think about his other options. I believe that we'll see other steps taken to lock up the North Korean regime inside the hermit kingdom that it really is. And that will eventually lead to the collapse of the regime. Now, if he tries some sort of preemptive strike against the South, that would only accelerate this process because he would be driven back. The Chinese would be forced to intervene again. And he would be signing his death warrant and all but inviting China to absorb his half kingdom. I mean, North Korea was under Chinese control for centuries. And I have no doubt that China, which anytime it touches anything, China says it's sovereign territory. It wants the Senkaku Islands back from Japan, maybe Okinawa as well. It wants the South China Sea, lock, stock, and oil barrel. You know, and Kim, whatever else he is, he's a Korean patriot. And Korean patriots really don't like the Chinese that much. You know, the police in North Korea forcibly abort Korean women who come back from China pregnant by Chinese men. because they want to keep the race pure. So letting China back into North Korea, possibly handing over his half-kingdom to China, would not be an attractive prospect to him.
If, in fact, Kim is trying to not actually comply with the framework that was signed in Singapore, and the details are being worked out, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if, in fact, Kim is trying to snooker the U.S., does that indicate to you that he has Beijing's blessing on that front?
Well, Beijing is in kind of a bind here as well. I mean, clearly Trump put Kim Jong-un in a box and said the only way out is to look south, you know, to open up your economy. And he's tried to close off the pathway north to China. We've caught China cheating on the sanctions a half dozen times already. We caught them cheating on land when the trucks and the trains were still going across the bridge at Dandong into North Korea carrying Chinese goods and so forth. We caught them at sea when they were doing at-sea fuel transfers and goods transfers. Satellite photos showed that they were Chinese ships doing the cheating. So we caught them again just a couple of weeks ago when Chinese businesses were rushing into North Korea anticipating the lifting of the sanctions. And we said, wait a minute, the sanctions are still in place, and Beijing has ordered all the companies and their representatives back to China. Xi Jinping, I think, didn't imagine he would be dealing with this kind of American president at this time. You see, when he came to power in 2013, he thought America's best days were behind it. He was watching a President Obama who was seemed to be more interested in managing the decline of America than in restoring American greatness. He saw an America that was economy was stagnating, barely chugging along. He was presiding over 6, 7, 8% economic growth in his own country. But how things have changed over the last 5 years. You know, the American economy may well grow faster than the Chinese economy this year. They're claiming 6% growth, but that's probably a 30% exaggeration. Their real growth is around 4%. They have an aging population because of the one-child policy, a shrinking workforce. They have huge government corruption, and they have off-the-books debt that is just enormous, probably 300% of GDP. So America is back, and Xi Jinping realizes that his best bet now is not to confront America, but his best bet is to go along with America. And he wants a good trade deal with America, so he thinks that if he cooperates on the sanctions with North Korea, Trump will cut him a better deal on trade, which is probably true. So we've succeeded in neutralizing China, who's always been a spoiler in these talks, and that's a very positive thing.
A couple quick questions for Stephen Mosier, the president of the Population Research Institute, in our last couple minutes here. Obviously, North Korea has cheated on number of deals over the past 25 years. We've seen Iraq under Saddam Hussein cheat when it comes to weapons of mass destruction. We've seen Iran snooker inspectors. So given what we've learned, or at least hopefully learned from those failed experiences, how do we make sure North Korea does what it's promised to do?
Well, I mean, we have to have, what is the road phrase where you have to have verified irreversible denuclearization in North Korea. We have to have American teams of inspectors going in there unrestricted by any conditions of when you can visit a site and how often you can visit a site and where you can go. We've denuclearized countries before. I mean, we went into Ukraine after the collapse of the Soviet Union and denuked that country in a couple of years. So we know how to do it if we have access. There's no question about that. As far as the big question, whether Kim is going to go along, my guess is that he is. I hope that he understands that the sanctions will not be lifted unless he denuclearizes. He knows. I think that the president has his number. I think that's why the U.S. has the upper hand in these negotiations.
And lastly, sir, what do you believe President Trump is prepared to do if North Korea does not make good on this?
Well, I think the sanctions can be tightened even further. We have to make sure that China is not cheating. Russia needs to be sidelined as well. They're both spoilers. They've violated the sanctions regime in the past, and if we're not watching and putting pressure on them, they'll violate the sanctions regime in the future. I think we have to also ask countries to send the North Korean workers home who are working in their countries. That's a big source of revenue for Pyongyang. You know, the workers that it sends overseas send most of their salaries back to North Korea as remittances, which is a source of funding. And finally, I think we need to consider blockading North Korean ports to stop the North Korean trade through the oceans. And if we do that, we can then sit back and watch the North Korean economy gradually grind to a halt. And that, if anything, will bring Kim Jong-un back to the negotiating table to get serious this time.
Mr. Mosher, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Stephen Mosher is president of the Population Research Institute and is author of Bully of Asia, Why China's Dream is the New Threat to World Order. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.